right now is why The Rock is one of the most, if not the most, electrifying man in all of entertainment. Which is why The Rock has become the most electrifying man in Twittertainment. You see, it goes like this. When The Rock talks on Twitter, things trend worldwide. And here's an example. It goes like this. You see, when The Rock says boots to asses, you can forget about Kardashian wedding. You can forget about the NBA lockout. Hell, Bigfoot himself might become president. But the only thing that's going to be trending worldwide is boots to asses. And it's trending right now.
Sometimes I get a good feeling. Yeah. Get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling. Yeah.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
It is Monday evening. It's SRL on a Monday night. I'm Corey Callahan, right alongside James McDonald. James, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Not too bad, buddy. Monday night, back in the Smack Talk studios. I'm feeling better.
Are you feeling rocked?
Not so much, but
no.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better than I was on Thursday, that's for sure.
It was a long 3-hour Raw this week, wasn't it?
It was quite a bit to digest, but I gotta tell you, it's probably the best Raw that I've seen in weeks.
Yeah, you know.
Which isn't saying much, though.
Well, we did take a week off after our illustrious show last Thursday, where we basically just ripped the WWE a whole new one.
Yeah, and pretty much.
I'm thinking they kind of listened. You think?
No, not really, because I am no more excited for Survivor Series after this Raw than I was before it. So
I will say that I am actually a little more excited for WrestleMania than I am for Survivor Series.
Oh, I'm pumped for WrestleMania. That's a whole other ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole other ball of wax.
So it is Monday evening. This is SRL on a Monday night. Welcome, everyone. Before we get going, I just want to remind everyone, if you do want to take part in the show at any point, you can send us an email onair@smacktalkradiolive.com or post a comment on facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And of course, you can always download our show at www.smacktalkradiolive.com. James, what is the difference between SRL on a Monday night and Smack Talk Radio Live on a Thursday evening?
Well, the one on Thursday evening, that's pretty much just our polished show where we have everything all prepped and we do pre-production, as opposed to tonight where we just watch Monday Night Raw and then hit the studio, turn on the mics, and go at her.
Mm-hmm. Now, you didn't want to use this song tonight, did you?
I had a better song.
What song did you want to use?
I wanted to use Shippin'
It
Up.
Doesn't matter what you wanted to use.
Oh, I was owned.
Did that work?
I was owned.
So the Raw got rocked tonight.
Okay.
That was my segue into how we get going here.
That's right. Yeah, it was Raw was from Boston, Massachusetts tonight. John Cena's hometown, actually. And it was quite interesting to see the reaction he was getting from the crowd.
All right, but before we get going, what song did you want to hear to start the show?
Shipping Off to Boston by... I thought you were going to do it.
No, I was.
Shipping Off to Boston by the Dropkick Murphys. I thought it was theme appropriate.
Oh, all right, well, maybe we'll head out of the show with that song.
Okay.
Now... it's also been an exciting week for you and I personally, because we bought tickets to something this past weekend, or last weekend, I should say.
That's right.
And are you going to fill everyone in? I mean, you already spilled it on the show. You may as well fill everyone in on what happened and what we're doing.
Smack Talk Radio Live is officially going to WrestleMania 28 in Miami, Florida.
We did finally buy tickets. In fact, not only did we buy tickets, we bought two sets of tickets to WrestleMania. So we actually have two seats each to sit in during the show from two different vantage points.
That's right. Not only are we going to the show, but we have our choice of where to sit.
I mean, do we sell the other
pair of
tickets?
Are you green with envy yet?
Well, what happened was I was on the phone with Ticketmaster. The seats that we wanted originally were gone right away, or they were never offered right away, because I was on the phone with Ticketmaster at 10 a.m. just like I was supposed to. Sorry, 7 a.m. The seats we wanted were immediately unavailable.
Tickets were going fast for this, weren't they?
They said it was the fastest selling WrestleMania ever. I would believe it based off the fact that I was there on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. and there were no tickets available at that time. I mean, it was pretty scarce. I panicked, actually. And that's why I ended up buying our first set of tickets, which I wasn't even really happy with when I bought them.
Right.
But I figured, if I don't take these now, we may not get as good. So I went with them. After I bought them, I asked the girl to search one more time for the seats that we were looking for, and boom, they were suddenly available, so I snatched those up as well.
Perfect.
So we have a couple options now. We could just keep both sets of tickets, go to the event, watch the show from wherever we want. We could sell tickets, one set of tickets on eBay before we even go.
We can
sell them when we get down there.
Plethora of options, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's going to be fun.
Should be good. And as we've mentioned already, we do plan on broadcasting live from Miami while we're down there on WrestleMania weekend. I think we're probably going to be doing a few shows that weekend.
Big things are in the work, people. Big
things. So that is what we are building up to. It is our road to WrestleMania here at Smack Talk. Should be good.
I'm excited.
All right, let's get into Monday Night Raw. Coming from Boston, Massachusetts tonight, that is the hometown of John Cena.
That's right.
Now, before this show even started, I'm asking the question, do they start with The Rock? Does The Rock come out right off the top of the show?
You know, I was almost half expecting them to start off with The Rock because they're always so scared about that rating in their first hour.
It's true.
Show, you know?
It's usually when they have a big name like The Rock, they just throw them out there right away to keep the people interested. In my opinion, I think it's better to wait.
Oh, I totally agree.
And I actually think the way they started the show tonight was quite good because they actually just started with a graphic saying The Rock was here tonight. Mm-hmm. So they didn't give him up right away, but they did make, you know, they alluded to the fact that we will see him later on.
Right.
So stay tuned. I think that's smart.
No, absolutely. That's wise on their behalf, definitely.
Okay, so instead of The Rock, we are starting Monday Night Raw off with Michael Cole, who has been hyping this Cole challenge.
Finally.
Involving Jim Ross.
The Michael Cole challenge finally happens after 2 weeks.
No, 3 weeks.
Has it been 3 weeks?
I think it's been 3 weeks.
Three weeks, okay.
Because they canceled it the first week, and then they went to London, and this would be the third week.
Okay, so yeah.
Or not London. They went to
Liverpool. So it was canceled twice
Liverpool.
Then.
Yeah, it was canceled twice, and this is the third week. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So anyways, finally, we get the JR challenge.
Yeah.
Michael Cole challenge, I'm sorry.
And you know this wasn't going to be a serious way to start the show, but it is what it is. So we have Jim Ross walking out. Well, Michael Cole walks out with a microphone in hand. Jim Ross follows out behind. Cole explains the challenge. There's going to be three competitions. Jim Ross needs to win all three. Now, after bullying Jim Ross for a little bit, Cole eventually introduces the first competition, and that is going to be an arm wrestling event. Michael Cole versus Jim Ross in an arm wrestling event.
I think a funny thing to note at this point was if you look in the crowd, there was a sign that said, big sign that said, stop bullying JR.
It's true, though. I mean, it's pretty bad.
It is true, and especially when they're doing this whole Be a Star campaign. It's just very hypocritical, don't you
think? It is very hypocritical, and I just don't know what they're going for with the whole Jim Ross. Like, why are we making fun of Jim Ross?
Somebody's got an axe to grind. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not doing anything for me. It's like they're trying to... Jim Ross is portraying a certain type of people out there. You know what I mean? Maybe he's representing the overweight...
I don't know.
Redneck audience? I don't know. I mean, I can't figure it out.
I think at the end of the day, this is just all going to make Jim Ross look like the bigger, better person.
Well, you would hope that he comes out the big man in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But so we start the arm wrestling competition. Michael Cole starts by pulling away. Like he acts like he's about to get ready for the arm wrestling. He pulls out.
Does some stretches.
He does some one-arm push-ups, believe it or not.
The one-armed hip thrusts, as the king would say.
Yeah. He also chalks up his hands at one point and wipes them off on the referee. So when they finally do lock their hands together for the arm wrestling competition and the ref signifies the start of the event, immediately, almost instantly, Jim Ross beats Michael Cole.
It was not even 2 seconds.
And then Cole eventually announces that they are going to have a dance contest as their second competition. Michael Cole starts the competition off dancing with a red scarf. What were your thoughts on that?
Enticing.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just leave it at that. Jim Ross eventually starts his dance, and boy, was that a sight to see.
Oh, man. You know what? Kudos to him for at least going out there and doing it and shaking him.
That's the thing. I mean, this whole thing could be, you know, maybe Jim Ross is in on the whole thing, and he's laughing along with everyone, and he knows there's money to be made, as we witnessed with Lawler and Cole. So this is now Cole and Jim Ross. You know, it's almost the same thing over again.
So are we going to eventually see Cole and Booker T?
Maybe.
Cole just goes through the list of announcers.
The rumors are running that Booker T is getting ready for one last stretch of a wrestling career.
Oh, really? One last stretch in the ring, eh?
Yeah. So, who knows? I don't know if it's with Cole, if that's what he's working towards, but...
No, thank you.
I just want to mention that Jim Ross's dancing was quite hilarious. I mean, the crowd was loving it.
All he did was basically shake his ass, essentially.
Mm-hmm. essentially, but in a most bizarre way.
Yeah.
Michael Cole does get the crowd to vote on who they think should win. Of course, they boo Michael Cole. Jim Ross ends up winning the contest. Cole does say, you know, of course you guys are going to cheer, or of course you're going to vote for Jim Ross. And he does say to Jim Ross that if you do win this next competition, if you win, you do get your job back at the commentator's table, and I will leave the WWE forever. We then go to the third contest, which Cole has set up that there's no way Jim Ross can win, and that is a simple challenge. It's called Who Weighs Less?
And the best part was the guy in the crowd going, I knew it!
Apparently, everyone in the crowd knew that this was going to be the third contest. Or at least one guy did.
I just love how you could somehow hear the crowd chants like really clear for some reason.
Well, it's like it all comes down to the guy mixing the audio at the audio board. I mean, yeah. he can make you hear whatever he wants you to hear. Well, that's so true.
Well, that was perfect that when that happened. But.
And so, of course, Michael Cole getting on the scale first. He weighs 200 pounds. Jim Ross gets on the scale. He weighs in at 239 pounds.
Good for him. He's lost quite a bit of weight.
Yeah. And Michael Cole eventually announces himself as the winner. At this point, everyone's had enough, including this man, CM Punk. His music hits. He walks out, gets in the ring, says to Michael Cole, or Cole says to CM Punk, I should say, how dare you interrupt me, basically. Punk says, Cole, your time is up. Punk says, you know, once it became obvious you weren't giving JR his job back, this whole thing became a waste of time, basically insinuating that he's done seeing Michael Cole in the ring every week doing what he's doing.
Hey, I am on that boat.
Do you agree with him, eh?
Oh, I'm not a fan of Michael. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. It's Michael Cole. He's very good at what he does, but it's just becoming oversaturated, it feels like. You know?
Oh, it's past the point of marketability in my eyes. I think it's getting tiresome now. Yeah. I mean, we've seen it already.
I think they're putting way too much energy into their commentators.
Mm-hmm.
Way more than they need to.
Way more focus on the commentators. It should be more on the action.
Absolutely. On your title belts.
Yeah. If you are going to go with this Michael Cole character, make him a manager. I do like the idea of him being a manager.
Takes
the heat off the commentators' table.
Yeah.
It lets Jim Ross and Lawler and Booker T and, you know, what's his name there?
Josh Matthews.
Yeah. It lets them get their announce team together and lets them focus on their job, and Cole can still be the heel.
I think that'd be a wonderful idea. Why not put Cole in the general manager role? A lot of people have been saying that.
That would be interesting for a while. I mean,
he would fit.
Punk actually does say to Michael Cole that Jim Ross is a better announcer than you. That's why this is bothering him so much. And he says, "If you know, Cole, you had your WrestleMania moment. You had your 15 minutes. You're done now." And he wants to see the WWE become interesting again and as good as it can be. At this point, John Laurinaitis walks out. He announces that he has 38,000 Twitter followers.
Oh, yes. The first of many, many, many Twitter plugs tonight.
Yes.
I actually went through and I counted. Do you want me to give off my number now or should I wait for later?
Let's just wait a little bit. Okay, we'll wait for that later.
But I was counting.
I don't know why he brought up his 38,000 Twitter followers. I think it was because he wanted to make everyone aware that he had that much and that he was speaking on behalf of them, which I think many would disagree with. Probably 38,000. But he also announces that it's going to be Punk and Big Show versus Mark Henry and Alberto Del Rio tonight. At this point, John Laurinaitis walks out. Cole comes back into this whole picture, and he wants CM Punk to apologize in the middle of the ring to him for interrupting his Cole challenge. Punk basically straight up headbutts him out of nowhere, and he puts him in the Anaconda Vice, and while he's doing it, he's saying, I'm sorry. And
Punk is saying, I'm sorry to Michael Cole.
Yes, okay. Basically apologizing, just like Cole asked him to do.
Kind of like sarcastically, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then at this point, go to Matt Stryker, who is backstage. So we head backstage, and Matt Stryker standing at a limo, and he says, this is it, the man everyone's been waiting for. The limo door opens up, and you would think it would be The Rock that's walking out of the limo. That's who Matt Stryker was insinuating. Well,
the way they were teasing it, yeah.
But was it Matt Stryker? Was it The Rock?
No, it was the man that they said wouldn't be appearing in Boston tonight. None other than Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Or Mankind, or Cactus Jack, or Dude Love, however you want to remember him.
Mick Foley back in the WWE. I mean, it was rumored heavily, and he had been making appearances at house shows.
Yep.
But here he is, back on television.
Yeah, this is his first TV appearance.
Okay, your initial thoughts?
It's going to really depend on what the role they find for him is. I can't really see him in there taking bumps and working full time.
You don't think he'll be an active wrestler?
I don't think so, no.
I think he's got one match left in him.
Oh, maybe one match, yeah, but I don't see him wrestling week in and week out.
Do you think it's something that we could see at WrestleMania?
Mick Foley in a match?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could see him lacing him up for WrestleMania. Anybody would lace him up for WrestleMania.
Of course, yeah. Would you be interested in a Mick Foley match at WrestleMania? I mean, we don't even know who it would be against, but are you interested in that?
But you know what? The last Mick Foley match we had at WrestleMania, I think, was him and Edge in that hardcore match, wasn't it?
Mm.
And you know what? That was actually a really good match. So, yes, I'd be interested. If it's a hardcore match and he's willing to put his body on the line one more time, then absolutely, I'd be interested in seeing that.
Okay. I know this is very early and obviously somewhat of a stupid question, but who would you like to see Mick Foley go up against at WrestleMania at this point?
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
I don't, yeah, you know what? I.
You could feed him to The Undertaker and make him 20-0.
Nah, that's been done before.
Yeah.
It's just there's no believability there. There's no way you're going to believe that Mick Foley is going to break The Undertaker streak. It's mm-hmm. just, no.
All right, well, it's a thought for down the road.
That's about as believable as Rock and Cena being in any sort of trouble against Miz and R-Truth here, but...
Yeah. Okay, at this point, Sin Cara walks out, and we actually have Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler sitting at the commentator's desk. This is after a commercial break. Jim Ross says that Cole is receiving medical attention, of course, from the hands of CM Punk, so Jim Ross thought he would fill in, and, you know, there we go.
Yeah, why not? You know what? There's nobody there. Might as well just grab the headset and, you know, work for free.
I guess so. Then we then have Kofi Kingston walking out, one half of the tag team champions. No, Evan Bourne noticeably absent tonight.
That's right. It's another edition of what is Kofi going to do this week now that his tag team partner is suspended.
Yeah, interesting. It's funny how they just ignore him for 30 days, you know, and then it comes back.
No mention or anything.
Yeah, it's just very funny how they do that. Cody Rhodes walks out wearing no mask tonight and also has new entrance music.
No mask, new music, and it's kind of like a remix of his old Smoke and Mirrors song mm-hmm. that he used when he was dashing.
Are you happy to see the mask gone?
You know what? I think I am. I think the mask ran its course.
Yeah.
And I think they got rid of it appropriately, you know, in this feud, him and Orton.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, yeah, I am glad to see Rhodes without the mask.
We then have Unico walk out.
Unico. Right? This is setting up the first match?
Yeah. This would be setting up Sin Cara and Kofi versus Unico and Rhodes.
Is it Unico or Hunico?
They were saying Unico, but I think a lot of people are going to say Unico.
I'm going to say Unico, too.
What do you think of his new gimmick, quickly, by the way?
Well, I'm not exactly the biggest fan of his wrestling attire.
No. Well, that's part of the gimmick, though.
I guess, if you want to
do So you're saying you're not a fan?
The Latino gangster look?
Like I said, modern-day Conan. That's what he is.
He is Conan all over again. Yeah, essentially, to a T.
He's got his posse. You know?
He's got the posse, he's got the bandana, he's got the...
That's Conan.
The wife beater.
I'm just waiting for the rap music video to come out, and wait for him to come out in the...
God, no.
You know, with the car with the hydraulics. When will we see that? All right, so Sin Cara, Kofi Kingston versus Unico and Rhodes.
That's right. So, yeah, this was our first match of the night. The match went about between 5 and 7 minutes. My timer was kind of acting up on me, so I didn't get exact... measurements of the match, but it was a pretty fast-paced match. It started off with Sin Cara and Unico in the ring, and there was a nice series of takedowns, including a head scissors off the top rope by Sin Cara and a nice-looking arm drag. And it was your basic tag match. You know, they kept the babyface away from his corner as they made tags, and essentially the finish came when Sin Cara splashed Unico on the outside, leaving Kofi Kingston vulnerable to the crossroads by Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. So, I didn't find Kofi to be that good tonight.
No.
He seemed off.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest match. It was just a quick, basic tag team match.
I found that he left a lot of the... When he was in the ring, his opponent was left waiting for him to finish moves. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Like, he would do, like, a springboard off the corner... But to get up to the corner, Rhodes would be standing there just waiting for him.
Yeah.
To jump up and then springboard off. If you're going to do that, the timing's got to be a little better. Like, I just found Kofi didn't have that.
Those are very, very time-intensive moves.
Yeah, and I don't know. Just it looked awkward, and he seemed off. And it's one night, but still.
So yeah, it was a short match, and Cody Rhodes goes over with the Crossroads, and
basically insinuating that Cody Rhodes is still a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, well, it's your IC champion going over your tag champion.
Mm-hmm. We then show The Rock backstage, and Jim Ross says The Rock is in the building. We have him up walking into the arena.
Gray beard, no.
Yeah, you're not a fan of the beard, are you?
No. You gotta lose the beard, Rock. If there was no gray in it, maybe, you know, you.
Well, maybe this is just a setup for him to be the spokesperson for Just for Men. We're marketing everything else. Why don't we do that?
Right beside Emmett Smith.
All right, we then go backstage where Santino Marella is playing WWE 12, and he is actually in the game. He's playing as John Cena, and he's taking on The Rock.
I love that, John Cena.
And so he had Cena beating down The Rock in WWE 12. At this point, Zack Ryder walks in, and they talk about Cena and The Rock teaming up at Survivor Series. There's nothing like using two mid-carders to promote a main event match at your upcoming pay-per-view.
Yeah, and Ryder wanting his U.S. title shot, so he was trying to convince Morella to sign his petition that he's got going around.
Yeah. We then get to Vicky Guerrero. She walks out. She mentions that Christian actually injured himself on a European tour, something with his ankle, I believe. And he is out at Survivor Series. So in his place at Survivor Series, Vicky just about to announce who's about to take his place, where she gets cut off, and Dolph Ziggler walks out, and he actually announces that it is himself on Team Barrett. Bit of tension there, but not really. But he just basically cuts off Vicky and says, "I am the man."
I thought that was kind of odd how he basically just came out and cut off Vicky Guerrero and
announced it himself. They still have a bit of rudeness to each other. Like, they're together, but there's tension there. You can see that coming to a end soon. Maybe not.
No, I wouldn't think so. I think they're really trying to build Vicky Guerrero up as a heel manager with a
faction.
Large stable.
Mm-hmm. They could be doing a better job if that is the case.
I know, that just seemed odd to me, but. Yeah.
He does mention Mace and Ryan is going to have a taste of what Team Orton is going to have this Sunday. He's, of course, alluding to the fact that he is about to take on Mace and Ryan. Now, we go to commercial break. When we come back from commercial, John Laurinaitis and Michael Cole actually kind of arrive at the commentator's table, and they basically say, okay, Cole's back. Jim Ross, you're done for the night.
Yep, Laurinaitis
head to the back.
Kicking him out, and Michael Cole's got his arm in a sling.
Yeah, and it was funny because Jim Ross kind of like pats Cole on his hurt arm, and as he pats Cole on his hurt arm, Cole responds with, "I will sue you! I will sue you!" Just one of those typical scoundrels that uses that as a line, you know? I love that. That's because I know people like that. You just touch them, and they'll be like, "I'll sue you! Do it! I dare you!" I've actually had that happen to me before.
Oh, really?
It did not end well for that person.
We won't get into that, I guess.
So this, of course, sets us up for Dolph Ziggler versus Mason Ryan.
That's right. It's your second match of the night. Again, this is a really short match. This was only about a minute long, this one. Not a lot of offense by Dolph Ziggler in this one. It was pretty much all Mason Ryan with some big clotheslines, and then he gave him like a hip toss, and essentially, the finish came when Mason Ryan went to pick up Dolph Ziggler, and he was press slamming. He was actually what do you call that? Were you pressing him over his head?
Like a gorilla press type.
Yeah, he's essentially doing a gorilla press, and he dropped Ziggler onto the mat. And then Vicky Guerrero was then up on the apron. She ends up slapping Ryan in the face, and so the ref threw the match out at about just over a minute, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So Mason Ryan wins by disqualification. Dolph Ziggler runs out of the ring, and then at this point we see John Morrison come out from the back, grab Dolph Ziggler as he's making his way up the ramp to the backstage. He throws him back into the ring to Mason Ryan, who then puts Ziggler into a full Nelson, pretty painful looking full Nelson too if you look at that guy.
Very stiff slam
at
this point from Mason Ryan.
Yeah, so essentially the full Nelson turned into a full Nelson slam, which, yeah, I definitely would not want to be taking a lot of those.
I think Dolph Ziggler sells bumps better than anyone in the WWE. If you look at who they usually feed, if they're trying to put a wrestler over for a devastating maneuver, it's usually Dolph Ziggler taking it. We know wrestlers like that where they can make any move look outstanding just based off the way they take the bump.
Well, that's 50% of all wrestling maneuvers
of
is the
course.
Guy taking it.
Yeah,
right?
But Ziggler just does it so well.
Yeah, he does do it very well.
I still think he's the most underrated wrestler in WWE as of today.
Dolph Ziggler?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you can give him a whole championship run and he would go with it.
Yeah, him and Swagger, I think.
Even the way he cut that promo when he came out talking about Mason Ryan before the match, he just sounded excellent.
Yeah.
You know? He sounded really solid.
Well, I guess he's still paying his dues at this point, you know?
He's been paying him for a long time, if that's the case.
Well, he's like John Cena circa 2004, 2005, you know? He's got the talent, but he's got to pay his dues before he gets up to that top spot, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I guess. We then go backstage. Mick Foley, he is sitting there, eventually talking to Zack Ryder. Ryder asks Foley to sign his petition for a U.S. title shot. And Foley does sign it electronically through Zack Ryder's iPhone, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder how he's doing that.
Like, he's got an online petition that it's all, you know, you just press a button and you have agreed to it. I've signed those before.
No, have you? Okay.
Yeah. At this point, after commercial break, Mick Foley walks out from the back, gets in the ring, and says, as a Kansas farm girl once said, there's no place like home. Of course, referring to the fact that he is back in the WWE. And he does bring up that The Rock and Cena... Well, he brings up The Rock and Cena tag teaming together. He calls them The Rock and Cena Connection. And it was funny because it was kind of... This is the first point of the evening where we hear or where we see how the crowd will react to John Cena.
And it wasn't very warm, I'll tell you that.
No, they booed that.
Surprising for someone who's from Boston.
Yeah, it's his hometown. So The Rock and Cena Connection did not get a good pop when it was brought up.
Tell him a little bit about Foley's t-shirt.
Oh, Foley's t-shirt, half of it was the John Cena shirt, Rise Above Hate.
Rise Above Hate, right.
And the other half was half of the Team Bring It logo. So he basically had taken both Cena's and The Rock's shirt and cut it down the middle, basically admitting that he is on nobody's side. He's on both their sides.
He likes
them both.
He wants to be the thread that brings them together.
And we definitely see how much he does enjoy John Cena, because he does introduce his good friend John Cena, who does walk out at this point. And it was funny because as he walks out of the entranceway, James, John Cena looks to the camera. You know how he looks to that handheld camera right near the entrance ramp, and he sort of says something, and sometimes you can hear him, sometimes you can't. Well, it's funny because tonight he goes, Boston, they love me. And I'm thinking to myself, no, they don't.
Exactly.
Like, you don't just make stuff up. Because they weren't loving him. Would you agree?
Well, no, there was a lot of Cena fans. If you scan the crowd as the show was going on, there was quite a few Cena fans there.
But as soon as that music stopped, the boo started to fill up the audio air, you know?
Well, the men were drowning out the kids, I guess.
Yeah. So Cena says, once he does get in the ring, Cena does say that The Rock and himself don't need to be friends to be a tag team. Foley agrees. He expresses his respect for John Cena. Does he ever? Because he tries his hardest to get the crowd over to like Cena. And, you know, he brings up a couple points referring to that, you know, there have been a number of excellent matches involving John Cena. And in the backstage area, you know, John Cena is one of those guys where he has treated every single wrestler from the top of the food chain to the bottom of the food chain with respect. And for that, that is why Foley respects Cena. I mean, he really tried to put Cena over here, don't you think?
Oh, he kind of alluded to him being like being the greatest wrestler in WWE history, and that really got a reaction out of the crowd.
But at no point did I ever think the fans were buying what Foley was saying.
That's probably part of the point, too.
Why? If you're going to have Cena go in as a face into this match at Survivor Series... I mean, I think they're thinking that Cena's going to get booed out of the building, so they're trying their hardest to put Cena over before they walk into that building on Sunday. That's what I got out of this. Foley was really trying to make positive points about Cena, and in my opinion, I don't think the crowd was agreeing with him.
Oh, the crowd's not going to buy it when The Rock's there, though.
So you're saying if The Rock wasn't there, they would be cheering Cena?
They'd probably be a little bit more warmer to him, yeah.
Isn't that funny? Like,
it's The Rock. What can you say?
Is that all it is? Is that what it comes down to?
That's a true cult of personality.
So do you think... What if it was... Here, let me just turn the tables for a second. Sure. What if it was CM Punk versus The Rock? Who do you think the crowd would be cheering for?
Oh, The Rock, for sure.
And you think they would be booing Punk?
I don't know if they'd be booing Punk per se. Maybe a few of them would, but I think definitely the reaction would be warmer for The Rock than CM Punk, yeah.
I don't think they'd be booing Punk. I think it would be a split down the middle.
Really? You think
Yeah, I think so, because everyone wants to see Punk do well, and part of the reason why they're not cheering Punk is because he's not doing well. They're holding him down. When they were giving Punk that push, Punk had every single wrestler in the palm of, or every single fan in the palm of his hands. You throw him up against The Rock, that would be the true test to see how over Punk is with the crowd. I think he would do a little better than what you're thinking.
CM Punk needs to cut more mic promos, I think, really, to get more people behind him, because that's where he really shines.
But they got to give that to him. They're not giving it to him.
Yeah, that's my next point I was going to make. They're not giving him the mic time that he needs to shine.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you do?
Mick Foley then at this point introduces to John Cena. He says, John Cena, this is your life. He is doing one of those this is your life segments like he did with The Rock back in the day, which we all know didn't end as well as it should have when he did that original segment.
Right.
So you know something's up on this segment as well. You know, you don't know what, but you know, you're thinking to yourself, oh God, it's another one of the Mick Foley's It's Your Life segments. What could go wrong here tonight? And we're waiting with bated breath to find out. So he first throws to a video montage of John Cena's life. And the one really notable point about this video montage, James, is the super awesome music that they played.
Oh God, who was that?
I have no idea.
Was that like, I think you were saying it was Jessica Simpson?
I thought it was Jessica Simpson, but I don't think it was after
Holy. Could you get any less of a masculine song to play for
just sappy
for his montage?
The definition of sappy, corny, cheesy, all wrapped up in one. I mean, it was bad.
Oh, so here's something for you, Corey. The original This Is Your Life segment with The Rock was the highest viewed Raw segment in of all time. It got like a 9.8 rating or something like
that. Oh, wow.
You think this is gonna come any close? No?
Those days are done. I don't know if he got a 9.8 rating. That sounds a little high, but it was up there.
I think it was like a 9 or something.
It was
big. It was huge.
Mick Foley introduces John Cena's old baseball coach, and his baseball coach walks into the ring, and he was kind of a dorky looking fella.
God, could this guy be any more of an actor? I was not believing this guy was a baseball coach.
No, you didn't think so?
Hell no. This guy was some paid actor they got.
He says, bottom of the sixth, down by one, two on, two out. John Cena up to bat. What happens? He strikes out. And not only did he strike out, but he said he cried after the game. So he just basically, this, you know, 5 foot nothing, 150-pound man, just basically straight up bashes John Cena in the middle of his ring. And that's how we're introduced to the first guest.
Cena's response, I struck out looking.
And Foley says that he does have someone else here as well, and he introduces B Squared, or as we all remember him as, Bull Buchanan. You remember Bull Buchanan, James?
I do remember Bull Buchanan. I remember him quite unfondly from the Right to Censor days.
Yeah, that's right. What did you think of Bull Buchanan? Were you a big fan or no?
Not really. Bull Buchanan was kind of one of those mid-card filler fodder guys. You know?
He probably knows that going in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So B Squared says to Cena, teaming with you is the best time of my life. And he says, you might be the best ever. And it was funny because the crowd actually booed when he said that. He said, Cena might be the best ever. Crowd booed.
Yeah.
And he said, well, things were good for you. Things weren't really the same for me. He says, I got fired from the WWE.
Didn't see that coming.
His wife left him. And he said,
sorry for laughing.
He said his dog gave him rabies. And what he's basically trying to say is John Cena, he ruined his life. And he walks out of the ring. And then John Cena basically says at this point, finally, something worse than the Shockmaster. I guess he's referring to the whole segment with Bull Buchanan.
And we turn to each other and we're like, no.
No, that's not worse than the Shockmaster.
That's not worse than the Shockmaster.
Foley then introduces the third guest, and that is John Cena Sr., John Cena's actual father, and he walks out, and it was funny, when he walks to the ring, James, boy, did he not have the Vince McMahon walk or what?
I was like, man, this is like a foot shorter Vince McMahon walking to the ring here.
And you could tell right away that this guy was a character, as Waller did point out.
Oh, yeah, navy blue blazer, khaki pants. Mm-hmm. Like.
And he says he wants to talk to all the testosterone-jacked freaks out there chanting, John Cena sucks. And he follows that up with, you know something? You guys suck. And he says, how dare you talk about my son like that? Do you know how hard John Cena works?
And of course, Cena could not be any more mortified at this point.
Yeah, he says, you're not cool. You're all losers. And Cena at this point says, thank you to Mick Foley. He knows what everyone here is trying to do, defend Cena. But that wasn't his life. You know, this whole segment that Mick Foley presented, that isn't his life. He says standing in this 20-foot box, meaning the wrestling ring, is his life. And Foley says that this hasn't gone very well.
That was probably, that. You know, when he was talking about wrestling being his life, I have to point out that's probably the warmest response that he got from the crowd all night.
Yeah, you might be right, actually. Well, he got serious for a second. Yeah. You know, he is the hardest working man in the industry. Yeah, you can't deny it.
That's the thing about John Cena. The stuff that he says is true. You know,
yeah.
You can't deny it. He is there every week.
I could pick apart what he needs to improve on, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he may be the hardest working man in the business. That doesn't mean he's the best in the business. There is a lot of improving in how he presents John Cena. But that's a story for another time. Foley, after John Cena Sr. comes out and Cena addresses that, Foley does say that this hasn't gone very well. He does have one more guest. It's at this point, James, where The Rock's music hits. He walks out. Rock bottoms Mick Foley, leaves, and he mouths the words to the camera, effing piece of shit. That's it. That's the first we see of The Rock. How good was this?
Oh, that's probably the best part of the show, in my opinion.
Yeah. Doesn't say anything when he gets in the ring. He walks out, walks straight to Foley, who goes to basically give him a hug.
Oh, it was great. He had his arms out. Perfect, perfect.
Yeah.
You know, perfect to receive the Rock Bottom.
And there you go. Down you go. Rock's out of the ring, walk into the back. Just classic, awesome segment by The Rock.
Oh, man. That brought me back to 10 years ago watching wrestling almost.
Mm-hmm. That was great. That was such a good. I was it laughing. Was. It was one of those moments where I was loving wrestling.
Yep.
Weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I was impressed with the show so far at this point.
Yeah. We then go to commercial. After commercial break, we have our Did You Know segment. And the Did You Know segment this week, James?
The Did You Know segment was, I believe it was, the first part they talked about Facebook followers. And I think they showed that. No, sorry. The first part was Twitter followers, or was it Facebook followers?
Regardless. Social media.
Anyways, yeah. It was basically the Did You Know was basically just a dick measuring contest between The Rock and John Cena, who's got more Facebook followers, who's got more Twitter followers. Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe this is a good moment in time to bring up this whole Twitter, Facebook thing. How many times tonight, James, did we hear something about Facebook or Twitter?
Okay, so basically I was counting every time that we saw a Twitter plug on the screen or we heard somebody refer to Twitter. And I actually stopped counting when The Rock came out at the very end because then it just got ridiculous. But up until that point, it was 22 times that Twitter was either shown on TV or mentioned in some form by...
That is just absolutely crazy.
22 times in 2.5 hours. So that, what, do the math, that's like, what, 10 times an hour? Just under 10 times an hour?
I cannot believe that people are going online when they see these advertisements and inputting these hashtags and talking about The Rock on their Facebook. I don't see that happening as much as they want it to happen.
Do you think that WWE has some kind of arrangement in place with Twitter?
Yes, absolutely. And I also think...
They have to.
And after watching Raw tonight, here's also what I think. This whole story with The Rock and Cena and The Rock coming back to WrestleMania. Like, for example, here, let me set this up properly. I have friends of mine who don't watch wrestling at all.
Right.
And they say to me, why is The Rock coming back to wrestling? And my response now, I thought it before, and I've actually said it on the show before. My response after watching Raw tonight is, The Rock is coming back to do all this with John Cena, with the WWE, for one reason and one reason only, and that's to gain fans on his Twitter and Facebook, and much like the WWE is trying to do. This is all about social media for The Rock, because he knows once WrestleMania is over, those fans are not likely to delete him off their Facebook or Twitter. And he can continue his career with a fan base larger than he had originally.
You don't think the love for the business has anything to do with it?
Well, it probably has something to do with it, but I think the love of his paychecks that he makes in Hollywood are a lot more, is a lot stronger than his love for the wrestling.
Okay, so you're saying probably a large reason that The Rock's come back is to...
Well, remember the first time we saw The Rock before WrestleMania last year? He walks out of the entranceway as he's walking down the ramp. That was the very first time we saw this whole Twitter thing. That was when The Rock walked out. As soon as he walked out, we saw facebook.com/The Rock or whatever his address was. I remember that specifically.
Yeah.
Remember, I was like, why are they airing that right away?
No, I do remember that now.
So to me, that is what this is all about. This is all about increasing Cena's and The Rock's Facebook and Twitter profiles and to get this fan base for when WrestleMania is done and over with. Then he has a fan base that he can promote his next movie to or he can promote his next whatever to.
That's
what this is all about. That's what this whole thing is about. I promise you, there is an agreement in place with The Rock's people and with the WWE's people that they have to mention The Rock's Twitter or Facebook so many times. I bet you this is all written out in a contract. I almost promise you it is.
Yeah, you could. You might be right. I don't know.
All right, but all I know is this: this whole social media thing has got to stop.
Oh, 22 times. And that's not counting The Rock going off on it at the end. I stopped counting at that point.
Like, I am a hardcore wrestling fan, but I don't have Twitter. So every time they mention that, it is just a waste of time to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for those who don't have Twitter, for sure.
And do you think I'm actually going to sign up for Twitter just so I can add The Rock and Cena to it? I mean, come on.
I know, I've got better things to do with my life than to get constant updates about what they're doing with theirs.
I know. And if I do get Twitter... I'm not adding The Rock or Cena because they've made it. They've mentioned it so many times.
Yeah,
I'm gonna add a hot girl to my Twitter or Facebook before I add.
You don't know the any Rock. Hot girls.
So Swagger at this point, or sorry, let me start again. Sheamus walks out, followed up by Jack Swagger, of course, accompanied by Vicky Guerrero, and this does set up our next match on the show, and that is Jack Swagger versus Sheamus.
That's right. Third match of the night. It was a decent match. Probably went about 7 to 8 minutes. It started up with them locking up. Began with a little bit of mat wrestling, headlock takedown, a little bit of chain, double leg takedown, stuff like that. Sheamus would then clothesline Swagger over the top rope as they went into the commercial break. And when we came back from the break, Sheamus was still in control. But Swagger then cut him off with a nice belly-to-belly suplex. And essentially the finish came when Swagger went to go do his, you know, he does that, springboard off the second rope. He does that kind of like Vader splash almost.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting because he did it onto Sheamus' back this time. Usually the guy's on his back, so you can do it onto
his chest. Yeah, he was turned over.
But yeah, he was on his belly, so it looked kind of odd.
Well, it works.
Yeah, it works. And then he put him in the ankle locks, and Sheamus ended up turning over, kicking off the ankle lock, getting up, going to the corner, and doing his Irish war yell, I believe, and then hit Swagger with a bro kick and pinned him cleanly, I think, in about 7 minutes, I believe the match was.
There you go. Simple, so but effective.
Simple time filler match. Didn't really, you know, it's not really progressing anything. I mean, sure, there are opponents in the Survivor Series match coming up, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's essentially a time filler.
It's a 3-hour Raw. We got to get through it.
Yep.
So we then head backstage with the Bella Twins and Zack Ryder. Alberto Del Rio walks into the frame, and he says after he wins at Survivor Series against CM Punk, he's going to throw a party. And then he says this to the Bella Twins. Zack Ryder comes back into the picture, and he says to the Bella Twins, don't party with him. Party with me in the L.I. Long Island. That was the segment. That was it. Again, filling a 3-hour Raw.
Jeez.
We go to commercial. We come back. The Divas are in the ring. No entrances for any of them.
Nope.
We get thrown to a Kelly montage about her Maxim cover shoot that is going to be hitting newsstands tomorrow.
I don't know. I'm getting sick of Kelly, honestly.
I know. It's so bad.
It's just, man, when WWE tries to ram things down your throat, that doesn't make you like it anymore. It's quite the opposite. It just makes me...
Yeah.
It makes me not want to see it anymore, you know?
And see, they say the WWE is a marketing machine. Right?
Yeah.
So not only is Kelly getting the exposure in Maxim Magazine, but Maxim Magazine is getting the exposure on Monday Night Raw. That's why they do these segments, right? So it's a give and take relationship. But the thing is it's just so cheesy how they do it that it turns me off. Like, I wouldn't buy the magazine.
No. No, I wasn't a fan, and I was not a fan of this match either.
No, because this, of course, sets up Kelly Kelly, and we got to throw someone to her because, you know, she has a magazine cover coming out tomorrow, so we got to throw someone in the ring with her. And who is that other than Natalya, who's been doing this a lot lately, it seems.
This is such a bad match. This match, I don't even think this match went a minute. So, anyways, essentially it started off with Natalya taking control. Eventually, Kelly Kelly turned it around. She would hit a stink face on, what do they call it? The rump? They called it
the rump bump.
The rump, okay, so she's calling it the rump bump, but it's always going to be a stink face. you're never gonna come up with another name for it.
No.
And essentially, the finish of the match was Natalya was going to put Kelly Kelly into a sharpshooter, and she reversed it into a roll-up. And Kelly Kelly wins cleanly at, like, maybe a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe a minute. Number one, I hate roll-up finishes. I can't say that. It depends. If it's done properly, like Macho Man, Ricky Steamboat, WrestleMania 3, it's good. But generally speaking, I hate roll-up finishes, especially schoolboy roll-ups. But when you're taking the sharpshooter and you're reversing it into a roll-up,
yeah.
Bret Hart must be if he's watching Raw, he must be rolling over on the couch or something.
Yeah, he's not happy because that did not look good.
God, how do you think Natalya feels? You know, constantly jobbing to Kelly Kelly, and it's just...
Well, who knows? Maybe you'll see a Gail Kim-esque type exit with Natalya.
It's such a joke because all the good female wrestlers are just made to look so bad.
John Laurinaitis then on the phone at this point backstage, and he's on the phone with Brodus Clay, and he says this week is no good for his debut.
Time is still not right.
Because they announced it last week that he would be appearing this week on Raw. They've done that quite a bit lately. They did it with the Cole Challenge. They said, it'd be next week on Raw. Never happened. And now they've done it with the Brodus Clay re-debut. Didn't happen again this week. They ran out of time, I guess.
Jeez, not a good habit to get into with promising and not delivering.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Alberto Del Rio walks in. John Laurinaitis cuts him off before he can even say anything. He says, Punk, he's made a fool out of Alberto Del Rio as of late. And he says that CM Punk can cause a lot more trouble as the champion if he wins this Sunday. And then Alberto Del Rio says Punk won't even make it to Survivor Series this Sunday, and he plans to be champion for a long time, longer than John Laurinaitis will be general manager. That was kind of a nice little shot at John Laurinaitis there. We then have Matt Stryker backstage with The Miz and R-Truth, and he asks, do they feel overshadowed and disrespected? They didn't say anything. Matt Stryker then asks, what can you guys do to get the attention of Cena and The Rock? Miz and R-Truth walk away. We then actually cut to Alberto Del Rio attacking CM Punk backstage near the TV trucks, and that sends us into commercial break. When we come back out of commercial break, Alberto Del Rio does drive out one of his vehicle. Mark Henry walks out. Big Show walks out. CM Punk walks out, nursing his hurt shoulder, and this sets us up for CM Punk and the Big Show versus Alberto Del Rio and Mark Henry.
Your fifth match of the night. This was actually a decently long match. I think this match was almost about 15 minutes, between 15 and 20 minutes. Again, my timer wasn't working, so I don't have exact measurements. But it was again your basic tag match where the heels would basically work over your baby face until he got over and made the hot tag. And the interesting spot in the match, I thought, was when Mark Henry and Big Show finally got in the ring together and they kind of went toe-to-toe. And
yeah, they worked really well, didn't they?
You know what? I'm very impressed with how Big Show and Mark Henry work together for two big guys. I mean, they did... essentially, their first spot together was they kind of just did a collar and elbow lock up, three of them. Mark Henry getting the upper hand in two of them, and then finally in the third one, Big Show got the upper hand.
They were previewing their big man showdown, which will take place at Sunday at Survivor Series. They did a good job previewing what we will see Sunday.
And then they kind of teased Big Show going for a body slam on Mark Henry there, but Henry, of course, fell on top of Show with all his weight. And like I said, it was just a lot of quick tags by the heels, keeping the faces in the corner, essentially, until the finish of the match, which came around, like I said, around the 15-minute mark, and it was... Del Rio and Punk were in the ring. I think Punk was going up to the top rope to do a splash onto Del Rio, but it was at this point that Mark Henry got in, pushed Del Rio out of the way, caught Punk from the top rope, gave him a world's strongest slam, and it was at this point that Big Show then got into the ring, kind of, I think, gave him a kick or kicked him off of him, Anyways, Henry rolled out of the ring. Henry would then throw Big Show into the post. Del Rio would then go over, take advantage of CM Punk, who was just laid out, like I said, with the World's Strongest Slam, and get the pin on him, and that was the finish of the match.
And then after the match, Alberto Del Rio wasn't finished with CM Punk because he slaps on the cross arm breaker there.
Yeah, and then Big Show made the save.
And yeah, and Punk's arm is hurt, and it looks like they're going to sell that heading into Sunday. We then go and see a recap of The Rock earlier with Foley, and it was funny. I just wanted to mention this because they cut out the line. They cut out the You know how they always show earlier tonight what happened earlier tonight?
Right. They always replay like what happened in the first hour.
As if I didn't see it when I watched it earlier.
Well, maybe it's for those people tuning in.
So it was funny because they recap the whole rock bottoming Foley, but then they cut out the part where he called him an effing piece of shit. Why didn't they show that? That was part of the show.
I don't know. Maybe kids can read clips nowadays.
We then head ringside. Santino Marella walks out. He makes the crowd laugh for a little bit, which he is then rudely interrupted by Kevin Nash, who walks out. And Santino brought up the Royal Rumble, which happened in the exact same building as they were tonight.
That's right.
TD Garden. And Nash says, yes, he was in that Royal Rumble, and he did get the biggest pop of the night that night, and he still wasn't signed after that. And he said, well, he's there tonight, and Triple H isn't.
He felt betrayed by Triple H because he didn't make the right business decision.
At this point, he decides to just powerbomb Santino Marella.
What do you think of Kevin Nash using tons of insider terms when he's going out there and cutting his promos?
I like it. I like it because he's not everything has to be for the kids. This is he can give us something every now and then.
Do you think that the majority of people watching can follow what he says?
I don't really care if the majority of people can. This is not for the majority. This is for the diehards, and the diehards do pick up on that sort of stuff. I mean, to give us 5 minutes of diehard wrestling action, that's all right. I'm fine with that.
Well, it's not so much diehard, but it's almost.
The amount of kiddie stuff that we put up with, they can put up with
almost,
that.
It's almost though that you. It's almost to the point where you'd have to be in the business to kind of pick up on some of the stuff that he's saying though.
I don't think it's. I like it. That's the stuff I like as a wrestling fan.
Okay, well Corey likes it,
which we need to see more of because of that. We are then backstage showing Randy Orton, and at this point they announce that Jonas Hill will be the guest host next week on Monday Night Raw. This then sets us up to head to ringside. Wade Barrett walks out with his whole entire Survivor Series team. That consists of Dolph Ziggler, Unico, Swagger, and Cody Rhodes. And then they say in the past 2 weeks, the Barrett Barrage has actually beat Sheamus and Orton. This is Wade Barrett. He's beat Sheamus and Orton in the past 2 weeks. So they are setting him up to be on a bit of a run here. At this point, Randy Orton walks out, and he is with his Survivor Series team, and that consists of Sheamus, Kofi Kingston, Sin Cara, and Mason Ryan. This sets us up for a singles match, Orton versus Wade Barrett, with all these men at ringside.
I was almost wondering if this was kind of like a lumberjack match, almost, where you had the 8 guys on the outside of the ring. But it was a very short match, only went about 6 minutes long. The match started off with Orton taking control with some punches and some kicks, and they did a little bit of chain wrestling. Barrett would then cut him off with a sidewalk slam and take control for about another minute and a half until the finish, essentially, was when Orton, middle rope DDT. Well, he got Barrett set up into that middle rope DDT, hit him with the DDT, was going to go for the RKO, and it was at this point that Cody Rhodes interfered, hit Orton from behind, and then it just became a big free-for-all melee between the two teams, and ended up with Unico taking an RKO, and the heels got chased off, and the baby faces were standing tall in the ring. And so, simple. It was just a...
Who ended up winning the match?
I think it was Orton by DQ because Rhodes came in and attacked him from behind.
And this sets us up for our main event segment of the evening. We head to... After we come back from commercial break, we are introduced to The Rock. Well, after a long pause, we're finally introduced to The Rock. His music hits, The Rock walks out, gets in the ring, grabs the microphone. I mean, the chants are already starting before he even said a word.
That pause kind of killed it a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that. Jeez, Justin Roberts pausing like that before he announces The Rock.
It kind of killed it a bit.
It's Monday Night Raw. Do it at WrestleMania, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, come on. Rock gets in the ring, he's got the mic in his hand, and he says from 3:15 a.m. this morning when he woke up, he just couldn't wait to be here tonight. And he goes through his day. He talks about, you know, he went to the gym. And he
banging
went,
and clanging.
Yeah. And then he went and filmed some scenes for his movie G.I. Joe 2. And then he was on a plane to head to Boston to take part in Monday Night Raw. And it all came down to the moment that he couldn't wait for, which is the moment right then and there where he finally got to say, finally, The Rock has come back to Boston.
What a pop from the crowd he got.
He brings up Twitter, of course, as we have... Well, I mean, why not? We've already said it 100 times tonight. Why not 101? Brings up Twitter whenever The Rock... And he says this. This was funny. He says, whenever The Rock talks, things trend on Twitter, like when he says, boots to asses. It's at this point, James, that the entire crowd in the stadium starts chanting, boots to asses.
Unbelievable.
I mean, could this guy have everyone in the palm of his hand anymore?
This true cult of personality. And, you know, CM Punk's theme song talks about cult of personality. Well, look at The Rock. That's true cult of personality.
Yeah.
Where you just have, you know, 15, 20,000 people just eating every word that you say, you know.
I think even The Rock was surprised.
Putty in the palm of your hands. Yeah, you get a big smile on his face. Yeah. So.
He said, we made Twitter history tonight right here in Boston, folks. And he says that The Rock isn't waiting for Survivor Series in 6 days to lay boots to asses on R-Truth and The Miz. It's at this point that The Miz and R-Truth walk out. They get in the ring, and Truth says, Raw got rocked. What a joke. Anytime they are on the show, Raw gets awesome. Yeah, nice try.
No. How about no?
And they said that this Sunday, The Rock will get beat. Another boots to asses chant starts out of nowhere. He doesn't even have to say anything else. He doesn't say a thing. He just, all right, chant starts. This is the thing. Cena's not getting that kind of reaction.
No.
It's funny.
It's nostalgia for The Rock, I think.
John Cena's music hits at this point. He walks out. He gets in the ring. Immediate boos from the crowd. I had that written down. They aren't liking John Cena.
No, they weren't. They weren't giving them
even
a good
in his
reaction.
Hometown. But you might be right. It might just be because The Rock's there. But still, that's not good. At no point will we see, with this story with The Rock and Cena, at no point will we see John Cena get cheered more than The Rock will.
Oh, never. But it doesn't matter who you put The Rock with. You're not going to see them get cheered.
But to
more
me,
than
that
Rock.
Just to me that just shows the state of wrestling today. It's not strong when your superstar is getting booed by a guy who's not even a full-time active wrestler. It's not good. It's not good.
It's just, well, I you know what? I don't know how to explain it. Maybe it's just because it's the throwback to the Attitude Era when I don't know, man. I can't explain it.
I can explain it. The Rock is better than Cena. That's it. In every aspect. Looks, on the mic, in the ring, excitement-wise. He's better in all aspects.
Yeah, but is he there every week?
No. Sorry, he's making millions elsewhere. Yeah, I really blame the guy.
I blame the guy.
Oh, come on. Not a chance.
I'm just joking.
Cena gets in the ring, and this is it. This is how we're starting the whole Cena and Rock saga off. He says, you'll have to excuse my partner. He's captain of Team Bring It. And the only thing he's been bringing is a bunch of crappy messages by satellite. And The Rock, you know, kind of shrugs that one off. And
he didn't shrug at all. He just stood there stoically, unmoving. Yeah, looked almost like, he almost looked like a statue, like an action figure.
The Rock replies with, and you'll have to excuse my partner. He's not used to having the support of someone who's reached puberty.
Oh, and the crowd just exploded.
And he said the only thing he should be concerned with is his size 15 boot in Cena's ladies parts. By the way, ladies parts is trending on Twitter.
John Cena's ladies parts is trending on Twitter.
God. How does he know that? That's a lie. You don't know that the word's trending on Twitter.
Like I said, I stopped counting once we hit The Rock.
Exactly. And Cena says that at Survivor Series, they have to be a team. And if his partner can't get past his ego, John Cena bitch-slapped Rocky will be trending worldwide. Miz interrupts all of this, saying he is sick of The Rock and Cena show and that everyone should remember that Miz won the main event of WrestleMania and that when they do win at Survivor Series, it will never be forgotten. Rock says, you will see us on Sunday, but we are here right now, boots to asses, and at that point, Rock and Cena just jump Miz and R-Truth. Rock hits the rock bottom on R-Truth. Cena actually picks up Miz to go for the attitude adjustment. Rock kind of spins him around, interrupts the whole thing. Rock bottoms the Miz as well and leaves the ring, kind of stealing the spotlight from John Cena. You know, Rock gave rock bottoms to both Truth and Miz, and Cena did nothing. Kind of stole the show from John, and that's how Raw ended.
Okay, well, here's my question now to you, Corey. Why am I going to pay $50 on Sunday to watch this match? For the third week in a row, you've just had your heels laid out.
Yeah, it's not about the match. That's the thing. It's not. It's about the confrontation with Cena and The Rock.
You know, they could have at least made Miz and R-Truth half decently credible. It's, you know, there's... I can't even put it into words. I'm so
you're disappointed. You're disappointed
totally,
with this.
Totally disappointed. I'm not, like I said at the very start of the show, I am not any more excited for Survivor Series after this Monday Night Raw than I was before it.
Even knowing
that The Rock's going to be there in wrestling.
Really?
I'm more excited for the Big Show and Mark Henry than I am for the main event tag match.
Interesting.
Because it's just it's not going to be a match. It's just not credible.
I don't care if it's not about the match. I don't want.
I do. I totally do.
You do?
Oh, absolutely.
But why? I mean, it's not a match worth seeing. Why do you care if Miz and R-Truth lose to Rock and Cena?
I just want it to be. I just want the heels to be a credible threat.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not. It's just poor booking on the WWE's
part.
But
it's the same argument as when you see. Michael Cole.
What would have been wrong with Miz and R-Truth laying out The Rock and Cena tonight and leaving them in a heap?
Well, that's not going to happen.
Why isn't that going to happen? Because that to me would have made the match going into Survivor Series more interesting than what they've done.
But again, it's not about the match. It's about the confrontation.
Well, see, to me, that's wrong.
But it's no different than when you see Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler. It's not about the match. It's about the story they're telling.
Yeah, but that's different. That's Cole and Lawler. It's Michael Cole. I mean,
there's no title on the line. It's not like the match is an important aspect of it.
I don't know how to put it properly into words, but it's not. It was not floating my boat. I don't like the way how they've made the opposition look so weak.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't think this should happen. I think if you're going to promote The Rock appearing at Survivor Series, you should do it in a different way than the way they've done it. But this is the hand that they've dealt us. I mean, it's not changing.
I
agree with you. I'm on your side.
It's really, at the end of the day, I'm not even a fan of The Rock getting in the ring before WrestleMania, personally.
Yeah, which we've talked about before.
Of course, but...
Okay, let me ask you this. After watching Raw tonight, are you any more excited for The Rock versus Cena at WrestleMania?
Oh, definitely.
Why is that?
Just because they had that little playoff together, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, that's what this whole... match at Survivor Series is supposed to play up is there's going to be obviously some sort of confrontation between Rock and Cena, which is just going to build up to WrestleMania. But God, man, you know, I hope they do this right, because they've proven to us time and time again these past 2 years that once they get something good, they screw it up royally. So, man, you got something good here, WWE. Once again, don't screw it up.
All right, so it's quite a contrast from the past few weeks on Raw, though. You got to admit, this was a pretty good Monday Night Raw.
No, this was a very enjoyable Monday Night Raw. You know, I was thoroughly entertained from start to finish.
Really? Yeah. So, okay, let me ask you then, what did you like and what didn't you like?
Well, okay, my like for this week would definitely have to be Mick Foley taking the Rock bottom.
Yeah?
That to me made the whole show.
Really?
Just The Rock coming in. Delivering a rock bottom and then leaving again is classic. Perfect.
That was the best segment by far.
It reminded me of the Attitude Era for some reason. Yeah. You know?
It was very good. And I also like that The Rock mouthed swear words. It just brought realism back to wrestling again.
It just solidifies the fact that The Rock is for guys like us, you know, the older wrestling fan, right?
Yeah.
And my dislike for the night definitely has to be the sharpshooter being reversed into a roll-up. God sakes, man.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to go off into words on how bad that was, because that's just... Oh. That's my dislike.
Well, I would say that I am generally happy with what I saw tonight. For a 3-hour Raw, it was quite action-packed. I mean, a lot of filler, yes, but it could have been worse. I've seen worse. And what's funny to me is I feel like for the last 3 weeks, they've just been writing the story to get by until tonight.
It's like you were saying. It almost seems like they get to the venue and then they start booking.
Yeah, but it was all, you know, it was like, okay, let's just get through these 3 weeks until we know The Rock's going to be here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like they had, it felt like they had the Boston Raw written a month ago, but everything in between, they were just going to make up as they went.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that actually happened. So, all right. We have to get out of here, James.
This was SRL on a Monday night, and that was pretty good, I think.
We're back Thursday. It should be an interesting preview heading into Survivor Series because, of course, Survivor Series is this Sunday.
Yeah, and this week's Tale of Tape, we're going to go over the Survivor Series card and just talk a little bit about how each match was built up to this point.
Give a proper preview.
That's right.
We're also going to talk to the guy in charge of the West Coast Wrestling Connection, which is based out of Oregon. That's interesting. That's our local wrestling scene interview this week.
Well, we said we were going to expand, and here we are.
I'm looking forward to that. Jeff Manning is his name.
Definitely.
And he runs that organization. It's a very successful organization out there. So I'm looking forward to that interview. We will be back Thursday, 9 o'clock Pacific time for Smack Talk Radio Live. This was SRL on a Monday night. I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm James McDonald, and we will see you on Thursday.